challenges of a long-term ministry with a single congregation I would say any minister faces is that of keeping fresh and having a feel of renewed energy from time to time. I've had various conversations with colleagues over the years who are in situations and settings similar to mine, where they served one congregation for maybe a couple of decades or more. You get to ask them, how do you keep it going? For all the ways that question can be addressed, I would say one of the most surefire ways of meeting it is something I've experienced here this past year. There's nothing like a spirited, energetic, and strongly committed congregation to keep a minister's spirits renewed and energetic as well. And while I can say in all truthfulness that it has been my joy and privilege to serve this congregation over the past 21 years in the still continuing ministry that we share together, this past year has been an especially gratifying one, one that leaves me approaching the end of this church year ever more appreciative for so much, for all that really happens here. I know it's an old saw about how difficult times can bring out the best in people. We've seen evidence of that, certainly in this congregation, in a lot of ways. One I would especially point to is just the past few months as our pledge drive has gone forth. Backing up a little bit, last fall I offered a sermon on dealing with uncertainty, with the focus on the tough turn our economy had taken over the last year or more. I know that what many of you know and still knew then and still know all too well for some of you, when I said these were difficult times for a number of our members and friends who were facing job losses or cutbacks in pay or just experiencing the general uneasiness of not knowing one's employment status. My hope then was that we could find ways of meaningfully being with one another and offer what kinds of care and support we could for one another in that uncertain climate. And then as we launched our pledge drive back in March under the wonderfully capable leadership of Ellen Fisher and the team she had working with her, we stressed that we only expected you to do your best, given what you might be dealing with. We also asked that those who found themselves in a position to do so, see if they could maybe pick things up a little bit for some of those whose circumstances were not so fortunate when it came to supporting our church financially. Well, you're going to get the fuller picture of all this at our annual meeting on June the 11th, which I trust you are planning to attend. But I will just note here that for the upcoming 2009-10 fiscal year, we increased our pledge base by over $15,000. That's truly amazing. And you're to be truly and deeply thanked for that. I'm not going to crunch the numbers here. As I say, we've got an annual meeting coming up. I'll just note, though, that with the decline in the value of our invested funds, and we know how the market's been going this past year, plus what we need to do here, quite literally, to keep a safe and secure roof over our heads in this building, taking all that into account, your executive board still had to do some serious budget work in preparing for the upcoming year. As I say, you can get more of that at the annual meeting, but I just want to say here, you as a congregation have more than done your part to keep us on secure financial footing in these very trying economic times. Okay, enough on that score. We saw a good uptick in new members this year. Some of you are here today, new members that we welcomed over this past year. All told, since last September, I got out the book and counted it last night, 28 people signed our membership book this past year. Our clerk still has some numbers to work over before we know what kind of a net gain that represents, but it's really gratifying to see an upswing in our membership in this year after being in a more or less static place for the past several years. On a personal note, let me say here that it was a special joy for me to welcome our son and his fiancée into the membership of this congregation back in April. He was 4 years old when I began my ministry here. Kid even sent in his own pledge. Bless him for that, too. On a more somber note, as I mentioned last Sunday, we lost two of our very long time and our much beloved members this past year when Bliss Woodruff and Gene Shear passed away. Some of you were here for Gene's service this past Thursday. Even in the sadness of losing her, it was a wonderful affirmation of her very wonderful, deep, and rich life. We just thank the choir, the music director, for the ways they've enriched our worship life over the past year, and I will just reiterate that again here. Lots of choirs this year, adults, trebles, the occasional greater choirs we talked about, I think even one Sunday we invited you to sing James Taylor's song. We called you the even greater choir and just made the whole congregation a part of that. That was wonderful. We've gotten up our own, I like to call it our Unitarian Universalist version of a praise band with Billy Parker with drumming and John on his bass and Jeff here with the guitar and a few other folks who sung. That's certainly made a nice mix in our service as well. Then we had some really special things like the honk play that I know Jed and Martha and so many of you, children and adults. I think the youngest in that was about 4 or 5 years old, and I won't embarrass anyone by saying who was the oldest in that, but it certainly covered a wide age range, and that was great. And that Woody Guthrie tribute that we did to Kathy, Dan, Harry, myself, that was wonderful too. So music just continues. It really continues to be an uplifting and a spirited part of our congregational life. And I want to thank all of those who make that happen. A very special honor came our way back in January when our Unitarian Universalist President, William Sinkford, chose this congregation as the place from which he wanted to launch our association's participation in a broader nationwide interfaith effort to campaign for a living wage, an effort to get Congress to raise the congressional leaders to raise the minimum wage. In addition to the importance of the issue itself, what was significant for us, I believe, is that Bill Sinkford chose this church. You know, we got 1,000 and some churches in our association. Bill chose this church as the venue to launch that campaign because he recognized we are a congregation within our wider UU family with a very pronounced commitment to social justice, to advancing our Unitarian Universalist principles and values in the public arena. What I'm saying is the UUA did not just pull our name out of a hat. They had a reason for choosing us, and I think that's a real tribute to the fine work of our Social Justice Committee and all of you who help support the things that they do. Following that Sunday, January the 25th, that service, you may notice this, we were headlined on the UUA's website for about a week afterwards. Anybody who went to the UUA website, the first thing they saw was Bill Sinkford standing in this pulpit here with the congregation out there and our organ pipes behind us. I thought that gave us a nice little boost as well. You might remember we had to reschedule that service from an earlier January date to a later January date because of 3 snowstorms that pretty well shut us down for 3 Sundays last winter. Now, I've never had that happen before. Usually we average about 1 snowstorm a winter that kind of diminishes, if not cancels, causes one of our services to be very much curtailed. Somehow we had 3 of them this past winter. I especially remember that ice storm. And I'm glad that our power stayed on in this building the whole time when it was down in so many other places because we were able to offer a warm and well-lit place for some of you to spend the day when your homes were cold and dark. Hard to think about that if you look out the window right now, but those were grim. Those were grim times. I'm not quite sure what to make of the fact that while others of our very fine fellow church communities in Nashua lost their power, somehow it stayed on the whole time. I am not saying that the universe somehow grants us special favors. You will not get me to go there. I just found that kind of funny. You know, to touch once more on the presidency of our UU Association, as many of you know, Bill Sinkford will conclude his term as president in just a few weeks at our annual General Assembly. 2 very outstanding ministers in our association, the Reverend Laurel Hallman and the Reverend Peter Morales, are standing for his presidency. Say one of them will be elected in just a few weeks now. With some other members of our congregation, I have been involved in Laurel's campaign this past year. I will just revisit the announcement that was made earlier that Gary LaRude and Laurie will be offering a presentation in the fellowship room on Laurel's candidacy beginning at 11:30 today. So after you've had a chance to look at Melissa's artwork, then go into the fellowship room and listen to what Gary and Laurie have to say. I would also say that in the spirit of fairness, next Sunday during our coffee hour, we will show a DVD presentation on Reverend Peter Morales' candidacy as well. Well, I'm at the point in what is to be a mini point where I could keep you here for the rest of the day, thanking all the people who give so much of their time to make this such a fantastic liberal religious congregation and community. It really does. It gets to be a little overwhelming when I stop and think about all the many volunteer hours that go into just keeping this congregation alive and healthy and moving in the very positive direction that we are. Our executive board has worked very hard and very well this year under Laurie Goodman's excellent presidency. Our committee chairs have served in wonderful ways as well. Last fall, our board, our committee chairs, and a number of other very dedicated members spent two full Sundays with Larry Lemon, one of our district consultants for congregational planning, to work up a long-term strategic plan for our congregation. As I recall, two components of that plan called for broader involvement in the financial support of the church and a concerted effort to increase our membership. I'd say, as noted earlier, I think we've made some very good starts in both of those directions. Next Sunday, we will recognize and thank the people who have given so much of themselves to our religious education program this year. I hope you can be here for that. It's really been a delight for me to work for another year with the outstanding staff, Chris Parker, our religious education director, Jed, music director, Sandra Martin Hodge, our fine sexton. An office manager and membership coordinator doesn't really do justice to all that Sherry Woolsey does here under that title. I think a better title for her would be the heart and soul of our congregation. Wonderful religious home for me and my family. It does have that sense of familiarity about it. At the same time, there's so much possibility for us, and there's so much good energy to make those possibilities happen, that it always feels like we're at the beginnings of new journeys and new directions. And that's what keeps my energy and my spirits up as we continue in our shared ministry, as we close out one year and look forward to another. At some point in each of your lives, many of you were welcomed into this congregation. And once you've been so welcomed, it's important that we keep that welcome going. That really is what constitutes the lifeblood of this congregation, this church, the way we continue to welcome people into it. So Reverend Richard Gilbert, one of our now retired UU ministers, has written a beautiful meditation about the various ways and the various reasons for welcoming people into a congregation like ours. I'm going to ask you to join me to help close out these thoughts. And if you'll take your hymnals, turn to selection 442. It's in the back. Of course, it's 442. It's in the back.